And so I said, Lord, I'm about to go autopilot. I'm not sure exactly where to take this thing. I'm just going to trust you, and we're going to have a good time today. But you know, what you got there? Thank you. Thank you. Let's back it up again. Back that part up. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving. You know, the Bible says to serve God, gives you full of joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, some of us, you know, I've heard people say, I got the joy of the Lord. You know, some of us need to remind our face, tell our face that we've got the joy. Amen. Look at somebody and smile and say, I got the joy of the Lord. Amen. Okay. So now, at this time of the year, I have noticed a lot of folks have a hard time during this year. A lot of times we got a lot of memories that's going on. We may have lost loved ones during the year, or even recently lost loved ones at Christmas time. I lost my mother and my first wife both at Christmas time. It's just one of those things that is always there. It's always hovering, and you're always thinking about it. But you know what? This Thanksgiving, I challenge you. Don't miss what you've got by missing what you're missing. Let me let it sink in. Don't miss what you've got. Don't forget to be thankful for what you got. Don't miss what you've got by missing what you're missing. I know everybody in here, if I said, you missing something this year, everybody can raise their hand. Are you missing loved ones? Everybody can raise their hand. Are you missing traditions? Yes, you are. All these things you're missing. But if you're not careful, you'll be so busy missing this stuff that you miss what you have right in front of you. Amen? Our God specializes in new stuff. Our God specializes in fresh starts. So I'm going to talk about getting beyond the holiday blues. I may keep on with it next week. I don't even know. I don't have any idea. But here's what I want to talk about this morning. The holiday blues. Amen? Anybody ever heard of the holiday blues? Many people sing the holiday blues the whole season. When I say the whole season, I'm talking about from Thanksgiving through Christmas all the way through the New Year. They just can't seem to get a hold on their emotions, and they seem to have more sadness than joy. Matter of fact, let me just say, if you're singing the holiday blues, here's the symptoms. Here's the signs. A feeling of sadness, a feeling of being discouraged. In this happy time of the year, you should be feeling happy and glad, but you feel discouraged. There's a loss of interest in things that you used to be very interested in. There's an appetite or weight change, restlessness, a lack of energy, feeling hopeless, difficulty concentrating, persistent thoughts of death or suicide, various physical symptoms. There's all kinds of heartburn and indigestion and things that you don't normally have comes over you this time of the year. And I've had people come to me and say, I don't understand. I just don't understand why I feel this way when everything around me should be making me happy. Amen. So now, let's go to this scripture. Let's go back to this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Get your Bibles out. I jumped ahead of myself. 5 and 18. Come on. Stand up. Get your Bible. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. If you don't know where 1 Thessalonians is, it's right before 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We know it for one of the biggest things we know about Thessalonians is because it talks a lot about the second coming. But both parts of Thessalonians. The second coming. So what we're going to do is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And let me just stop here and just read that next verse, because they are directly connected, believe it or not. Quench not the Spirit. When we lack thanksgiving in everything, God didn't say, thank God for everything. He said, thank God in everything. There's a difference. There's things that's happening to me that I don't like, but thank God that He's seeing me through it. Amen. There's people that have certain kind of things been diagnosed with your body this year that you weren't expecting. But God says, I want you to thank me anyway. Remember, don't miss what you got by missing what you're missing. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. I thank you, God, that we're not alone. We're not by ourselves. God, you're working with us, through us, for us, in us. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to each and every one of us, God, in a special way this day. And help us, Lord, to recognize in our own lives the holiday blues, and to recognize how to get beyond them and not miss what's right in front of us by missing what we're missing. In the name of Jesus, we're praying. The church said, amen. Y'all can be seated on the way down, shake somebody's hand, and say, I thank God that you're here with us today. Okay. Remember, all these symptoms, if you can mark off one of these symptoms as a possibility, if you mark off three plus, then it's really, really bad. If you mark them all off, you're going to find yourself in a full-blown depression. And so it may just be for the holidays, but it's a full-blown depression, and it will cause you to miss out on what God is trying to do for you. I like the Bible says, again, it says, thank God. I like the Message version. Thank God no matter what happens, this is the way God wants you to belong, you who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. In other words, it doesn't matter what happens. He wants us to stand strong and to stand true. Amen? So now here we go. Now we can get back into this thing. So now, we got the holiday blues. Now that mask, look at that poor snowman. He's having a blue Christmas. That's what the cardinal's singing in his ear. We'll have a blue Christmas without you. We're going to turn up the heat and say bye you. God. In order, listen to me carefully, in order to change your attitude, that's the first thing that's got to happen. You've got to change your attitude. You know, some folks say, well, how do you know I got a bad attitude? I saw it when you walked in the door. How do you know I got a bad attitude? I could tell when I went through the drive-thru window. How do you know I got a bad attitude? I could tell by looking across the counter and seeing that person. How do you know you got a bad attitude? Let me tell you something about your attitude. Your attitude goes before you as a beacon, and it stays behind you as a mist. Remember that. It stays before you as a beacon, behind you as a mist. And so if you've got a bad attitude, when people see you coming, they can already feel that bad attitude before you ever get there. And then whenever you leave, when you've had a whatever attitude, if it's been a good attitude, when you look, if you come in a room and notice people that are having a hard time, as soon as you walked in the room, they started smiling. You know why? Because that beacon of attitude, they sensed that good attitude, and immediately it's contagious, it helped them. Or you come into a room and they were looking kind of happy till you came in, now they're looking kind of sad. Why? Because your attitude, like a beacon, is shining on them. They see it and they pick up on it, and our attitudes, again, they play off each other. It comes behind you as a mist, meaning you're going to leave an aroma behind you. Amen? Is it going to be a sweet aroma, or is it going to be a sour aroma? If it's a sweet aroma, it's like Brandon was talking about going to Pitt Detention Center. They tell us all the time, we love for y'all to come to Pitt Detention Center, because every time y'all show up, when you leave, these guys calm down sometimes for days after y'all leave. Why? Because our beacon shone before us, and the mist stayed behind us of our attitudes and our love for God, and it is contagious, and it run all through the cells. Amen? So how do you become grateful again? How do you enjoy the season of thankfulness? I didn't say the Thanksgiving season, the season of thankfulness, because it's not just Thanksgiving Day. You thank God for Thanksgiving, thank God for the holidays all together, because you get to see people that you hadn't seen in a while. Plus, there's Christmas, and Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming to this earth, delivering us from our sins. And so when you find yourself in this attitude, what do I do to get out of this? Don't expect your mate to change you. Don't blame your mate. Don't blame your children. Children, don't blame your parents. Don't blame your boss. Don't blame your coworkers. If you've got the holiday blues, to get out of the holiday blues, it's going to take a conscious effort on your part. Don't wait for somebody to drag you in to thankfulness. You need, remember, beacon aroma. Beacon aroma. What do you want to be? What do you want your beacon to be? What do you want your aroma to be after you leave? Amen? So here it is. Watch this. It's so simple. This is as simple as falling off a log. Matter of fact, it's going to be so simple, you're going to say, wow. What? Amen? Here we go. Got faith? Anybody got faith? Watch this. Watch this. The first thing you got to do, if you're going to change your attitude, become grateful again, and enjoy the season of thankfulness, you have to make a conscious effort to change the way you view your faith. You have to let your faith kick in. Amen? Keep faith that God really is control. God really is in control. I believe with my whole heart God really is in control. If He's in control, He knows about the people that went on before us. He knows about the problems we have at work. He knows about the problems we may have in our marriage. He knows about the problems that we may have in our family. He knows how we struggle during the day with this sadness that has come upon us. So because He knows all of this, you have to keep the faith that God is really in control and you can trust Him to take care of the situation. But here it goes. In His time, in His way. My boys would tell me when they were coming up, Daddy, I got to have it now, I got to have it now. I'll die if I don't get it now. And I'd just say, boys, I preach a good funeral. But Dad, you understand, I've got to have it. And I said, you need it. And when you need it, it's going to be there. If I give it to you now, you're going to spoil it. It's going to mess up. You're not going to have it when you need it. And so it's sort of like when they come back in the day. How many remember when you used to get a cup of tea at a restaurant and you had to pay for the other cups? It wasn't bottomless. Remember that? And my daddy would set us down. We didn't go out to eat much. When he did, he said, don't touch that drink till the food gets here. He said, because I ain't buying another glass. My daddy was tight. I mean tight. Remember me telling anybody bought me a canary? The old canary only had one leg. Had a wing that had been broken and grown back on its own. And it didn't go chirp, chirp. It went cheep, cheep. He was so tight, we'd go to Kentucky Fried Chicken on Friday nights and lick other people's fingers. Okay, here we go. So here we go. Look. In His time, in His day, He said, don't you drink that tea, because if you drink it now, when the food comes, you're going to choke. I ain't buying you anymore. That's what he'd tell me. And he meant it. D.C. knows my dad. He's like that. Ain't he, D.C.? Yeah. If you drink all your tea now, when the food gets here, you're going to choke. The same way, sometimes if God gave us something ahead of time, we would spoil it before we actually needed it. So in His time, in His way, let Him work it out, because He knows what's the best way. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Matthew 8, 26. Check your faith. Amen? Number two, if you want to get back a fruitful spirit, watch that. Look at that. Everybody see that? Sometimes you just have to pick up yourself and carry on when life hands you lemons. Look, it took a lemon, and he picked himself up and kept on walking. Amen? Kept on moving. Here we go. Watch this. I know when y'all start seeing it, you'll see, yeah. You got to learn how to forgive. There's a lot of people talking about forgiveness, but I honestly wonder if they really forgive. Remember, there's two parts of forgiveness. The first part is the immediate acknowledgement. I acknowledge, I forgive you. But then there's the process that I have to go through and work through in order to forgive. Because just because I acknowledge forgiveness doesn't mean that they have been forgiven in my heart. That just means that I acknowledge that they need to be forgiven. Once I acknowledge that I forgive them, then I have to go through the process. One is an actual start. The other one is the finish, the process. The start, sometimes you think, I don't think I can ever forgive them. And you say, I forgive them, but then you don't go through the process. You've never really forgiven them because they still make you mad. They still get on your nerves. They can't say anything around you because you still can't stand them. Oh, come on, y'all holy rollers. Y'all got somebody in your life that you find hard to forgive. Amen? I'm here to tell you something. Sometimes you need to forgive your past. By your past, I'm talking about wrongs that others have done you, things that happened to you in the past that you could do nothing about now, and you've been dragging it around in a little bag, and that little bag keeps getting heavier and heavier, your little bag, and you can't wait to open that bag. I'm going to show people why you feel so bad. and start talking about how everybody done you wrong, how they done you wrong, how they done you wrong. Secondly, learn how to forgive yourself. I hear a lot of people all the time say, man, I wish I hadn't responded that way. I wish I hadn't have done that way. I wish I had have, if I'd have been older and smarter, I may not have handled it that way. Well, that's how you become older and smarter, by learning what you did wrong and correcting it, and next time not handling it the same way. And so, forgive yourself. Forgive those in front of you. Listen carefully. Forgive those in front of you. In other words, those you fellowship with. There's people that you have fellowship with, some strong fellowship, some weak fellowship, but you still have some kind of contact with that person. You got to remember, in that process, you may see that person once or twice a year. You may see that person once or twice a week. You may see them once or twice a day. But you have to learn to forgive that person, to remove that debt that they have hanging over their head, and just mark it paid in full. Then forgive those who are not in front of you. In other words, the people that you don't fellowship with. There are some people that have hurt you that don't even know they've hurt you. There are some people that have harmed you that have no idea that they've harmed you. And so you're walking around being upset, mad. I've seen people sometimes that they've held a grudge so long that when the person comes in the room, they got to stop and think, well, what was I mad about anyway? They can't even remember. So here it is. Remember, they may need to forgive you too. There goes that. There, let's try it again. Yeah, okay. Well, they may need to forgive you too. Just remember that. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, this has nothing exactly to do with forgiveness, but it has got to do with the time and like this forgiveness. I remember last year, right after Burton, first he broke his neck. When he got over breaking his neck, then he hurt his foot, then he got over hurting his foot, and then he wound up hurting himself, his hip, breaking his hip. And from that time on, it just started going way downhill. But while I knew, and I could tell there was some dementia coming on. And so, because I could tell there was some dementia coming on, every time I saw him at least once a week. And every time I would go to see him, I would actually get in his face where he could hear me. And I would say, brother, he'd say, I thank you for coming to see me. And I'd always end it by saying, brother, and I'd look right in his face so he could hear this. I want to thank you for the influence you've been on my life, and you still are on my life. I will never forget what you have taught me. And the first couple times I said it, I saw a tear come out of his eye. The rest of the time I said it, he would just smile. But I knew bad times were coming. I could sense it. I could feel it. And so I said, I don't want to walk up to a coffin and look in a coffin where he's not here. It's just his shell. And say, thank you for what you taught me. Never. I want him to hear it out of my own mouth. It's very important. That's just like forgiving. It's very important. If you cannot forgive, you're going to have a miserable, miserable Christian life. You're going to find yourself in all grades of wondering, why am I feeling this way? Also with the past, if you want to get out of the holiday blues, you need to forgive those behind you, in front of you, with you, and who are not with you. The next word. This is pretty simple. We should certainly count our blessings, but we should also make our blessings count. Wow. Wow. I'll let it sink in for a minute. I'm almost through. Believe it or not, I'm almost through. So you might have to forgive me if I take another 30 minutes. Watch this. Face. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Quit looking forward. Quit looking backwards. Seek his face. And let him take care of the rest. Wow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I was reminded this week of what the Lord showed me the first time I came by myself and sat in this pulpit. I came in here when there was not a service going on, and I got in this pulpit, and I was praying. And as I looked out, the Lord said, I want you to to keep your eyes on me. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look behind you. Keep your focus on me. Don't worry about the church down the road. Don't worry about that church down the road. Don't worry about that church. Don't worry about what that guy said or what that woman said or what that person is doing. This is going to take some work. I need you to look forward and keep your eyes on me. And every time I find myself start wondering, I hear that thing that he told me in my prayer, and he just reminded me of that just yesterday. So, Joshua 1:7, be thou strong and very, I love this. Let me read this to you. Be thou strong and very courageous and follow what I told Moses. Turn not to the right or to the left. I'm going to read it in a couple other versions. Be strong, confident, and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the left hand or the right, that you may prosper wherever you go. And then the message. Strength, courage. You're going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything. Listen, here's what we get taken out of the knees. Give it everything you have. That's what he was telling Joshua. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it. Don't get off track, either to the left or the right, so as to make sure that you get where you are going. Wow. Give it everything you got. I don't want you to look around. I don't want you to point. But I want this to stay in your mind from here on out. God, am I giving it everything I've got? Or am I giving you leftovers? Just remember that. I say it to myself all the time. God, am I giving you what I got, or I'm just giving you what's left over? Butterball. Butterball had a lady call in, and she said, I found a turkey in my freezer. It's been there for 6 years. Is it okay to eat? And he said, well, it's okay to eat. He said, it might have a bad smell. It might have freezer burn, but it'll be okay to eat. She said, okay, I just want to make sure. I was getting ready to take it to the church. Was she giving all she got, or was she giving leftovers? Amen. So now, wow. If you're grateful for everything, then whatever you have is enough. I try to live that way. If you're grateful for everything, then whatever you have is enough. I try my best to live that way because over the years and over the problems and losing people in the family and all this stuff, there's been a lot of hurt. So in order to get over that hurt and to move forward, I just say, Lord, I'm just going to thank you for what I got in front of me. If something's taken away, I'm still going to thank you for what I've got, what's left. You see, focus on the gifts in front of you. This is awesome. Focus on the gifts in front of you, on what you have, not what you don't have. I hear so many people tell me that. Well, it used to be this way, and it used to be that way. You know, focus on what you have, not what you don't have. You know, how many saw the Katrillion Black Friday ads? My daddy called me Thanksgiving Day and said, son, is there a Best Buy close to you? And I said, well, it's in Greenville. He said, they have, and this was the truth, they have a 50-inch sharp 4K LED TV. 120 hertz. That's awesome. It's a $500 TV. They had it on sale for $169. So I looked it up. And sure enough, it was there. But it said you can't purchase this online. You got to go in the store. So on Friday, I got up and Bethany said, what you going to do? I said, nothing. She said, you're not going to go to the store. I said, I got other things I got to take care of. I got funerals and I've got other things. Nope, I'm going to take care of what I got to take care of. If I get a chance, I'll go check out what's going on. So I went and had the sales paper, and I went into Walmart, and all the things they had, gone. I went to Lowe's. They said, we're going to have our grills on sale 50% off. Select grills. I think they only selected one. The rest of them have the same price. I called Best Buy, and I said, is it true you have those TVs for $169, that sharp 4K LCD? 50-inch 120 hertz. He said, well, we had them. He said, but we only had a few. I said, a few? What's a few? He wouldn't tell me, but then he said something like, we passed out 10 tickets to the first 10 people in line that was sleeping there overnight. He said those TVs were gone in 5 minutes because they had tickets. You know what all that is? It's called a hook. They hook you into the store and make you think you can get all these great, great buys. And there's still some great buys out there. I'm not belittling that. There is still some. But instead, they get you all hooked up on something that you're not going to be able to get. And you run in, and then you feel bad because you didn't get the TV, but you still got a whole bunch of stuff that you don't need and don't want. It's the hook. Satan has a hook. I'm not talking about the world now, although the world is a hook. I'm not talking about the world of sin. Here's his hook. He keeps us focused on what we don't have. He keeps us focused on what we don't have. So then we lose what's in front of us. Again, just let that sink in. We're so busy looking at what we don't have because of loss or because of whatever, but we don't have it, and because we don't have it, we can't even enjoy what's in front of us. So, thank God for the gifts in front of you. And trust God for the gifts that are coming. Focus on your eternal reward and not your temporary home here on earth. I'm almost there. Get ready. Some people complain because God put thorns on roses, while others praise Him for putting roses amongst the thorns. That's something. Ready? Forget not. Forget not the true meaning of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Here's what it is. In Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're celebrating where God provided our spiritual and physical needs. Thanksgiving for supplying our physical needs. Christmas for supplying our spiritual needs. What we need to do is tell God how thankful we are for what He has given me. And I even thank Him for what He has not given me. Because sometimes I really don't need it. I think I do and I don't. Or it's not time for it yet. And then finally, here's my last. Y'all guys can get ready. Here's my last one. This was something that used at Senior Saints really quick. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. I'm going to take thanks. Ready? The T. Take nothing for granted. Nothing. Sometimes some of the smallest things wind up being some of the greatest pleasures. Amen? Some of the things that you thought you didn't even want wind up being something now that you feel like you can't even live without. Take nothing for granted. H, humble yourself before God, saying, God, I ain't got to have it my way to keep serving you. I have it your way and keep serving you. Action, keep moving forward and don't let circumstances stop you. Never forget God is always in control. Keep your eyes on the blesser, not the blessing. That's a hard thing that I had to learn years ago. But I learned it. And because I learned it, I find that it's so much easier to live if I got my eyes on the blesser versus the blessing. Because the blessing is going to fade away. The blesser is going to be here forever. And S, say thanks often. Wow. Wow. Everybody stand. The cool thing about January 1st coming up is it's a chance for us to start over. It's a chance for us to do it again the right way. There's some things in your life, some things in your past that drive you crazy that you wish you hadn't have done, or some things you wish you had done for God that you don't do, and all kinds of stuff. We get caught up in the blessing versus the blesser. We get focused on what we don't have versus what we do have. And it kills us. It takes us down. Starting this year, you can start now. Start today. But from here on out, especially at the first of the year, make your mind up that you're going to be a cheerful giver of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And if you can be a cheerful giver with your time, talent, and treasure, it's amazing how your life will turn around instantly. And in some cases, it'll even be so amazing as time goes by. You think instantly is awesome. Well, just wait to watch how it keeps building momentum. I want everybody to raise your hands. And I want you to repeat after me. Father, forgive me for focusing on what I don't have and letting it take me down. Father, help me to change my focus and see what I do have and what you can do with it. Father, this year, help me to become a cheerful giver of my time, my talent, and my treasure. Help me to live as though it will be my last day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now the altar's open. If you want to come up and pray for anything, come on up here. I just want to get everybody a chance to pray. But if you have to pray for something specific, come on up here. Don't let this day go by without it. You need to pray. Come on up here and pray. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what I have. I still miss things. It still brings tears to think about some things, but I'm not going to let that hold me hostage. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to live in the now. I'm going to live in the now. Yes, we all have regrets. Yes, we all have problems behind us. Yes, we have things we wish we'd have done different. Yes, there's things we long for that we can no longer touch. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Help me live in now. Now. And be thankful for now. And for you to use me now, in the now. Now. Help us, God, to give it all we've got in the now. In the now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God.
So sit all night, divine, oh night. Christ was born all night, divine, oh night, when Christ was born.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. I had a dream. Night before last, it woke me up. This church was packed. And it had a lot of young people. People I've never seen before. Couldn't tell you if I saw them on the street. That represents growth. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give up. Do your part. Speak up. Not negative. Speak up. Bring them in. They're coming. It's here. It's here now. That's how God works. Remember, when he tried to feed that multitude of 5,000 men plus women and children, 10, 20,000 people, he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Small amount. But God took that small amount and multiplied it. When he got through, everybody was filled to the full, and there was 12 basketfuls. That word basket means literally coffin. There was 12 coffins left over. That's how big the baskets were. 12 coffins filled up with the remnant off of that little bitty 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let's get busy. We all got to get busy. Don't point your finger and say they need to get busy. Say, God, let me get busy. Let me get busy. Let me get busy. And if you get busy, you'll inspire somebody else to get busy. Go talk to Jeannie if you want to go help tomorrow. Or Tuesday, if you can help Tuesday with the feeding, please come talk to Jeannie. And we need all hands on deck. And also the parade's coming up. We need people to work in the parade. And so let's don't just sit back and say somebody will do it. I checked on the roster. Somebody isn't here anymore. Somebody left years ago. Somebody's name's not on the roster. So if you're waiting for somebody to do it, it ain't going to happen. We got to do it. Us have to do it. Somebody's gone. I don't know where he went to. I don't even know if he was a male or a female. I didn't know how old he was. I just saw that somebody left. And we can focus on that somebody and figure out who it was and what happened, blah, blah, blah. Or we can say, wait a minute, somebody's not here. So somebody's not going to do it. We got to do it. Ready? Aim. Fire. Amen. Brother Doug, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?